I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness through all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Anything exciting happened in the city last night? Kind of fun. Thank you for representing. Yes, an extra hour. Yes. That was fun last night. First things first, though, good morning, you beloved community. So glad that you were here. Welcome to all of you long-timers and first-timers and fifth-timers. To you folks online, we're so glad for your presence today. Thank you for joining us here. Second, you will see some friends are joining me up here. There is no climbing of ladders today. So Ken, I know that you want to reach the top of that one. Please do not do that, okay? I'll be watching you specifically, or the Kwan boys. So say again, which one's Jacob's? Maybe you'll see. Yeah, so those barriers are there for a reason. Don't try to get around them and climb up. That would be great. Well, this morning we are going to sing. We have three different song leaders who are going to lead us in a few songs. We'll read scripture together. Our psalm this morning will guide our morning and our songs. We will hear from Luke's gospel in chapter 19. I'll preach a little bit. We'll share communion together as we do every single week. It is a good morning to be here today. So thank you for joining us. Let me please light our Christ candle, which reminds us, of course, of Christ's presence in us and among us. All right, Chelsea, we can go to Psalm 32, starting in verse 1. Would you stand, please? Let this psalm, these first few verses, lead us into our next few songs. Let's remain standing until I invite us to sit down. Psalm 32, starting in verse 1, says this: "Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed are those to whom the Lord accounts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer." Let's sing together.
This is a song of my youth that we rarely sing anymore. When I was looking over this before, I realized that I usually sing bass on this, and so I got to the chorus and realized, my goodness, I may be singing bass, and if I do that, please forgive me, but that's just force of habit. We'll sing the first two verses. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Verse 5, Psalm 32. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along life's pilgrim journey. Oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm in trouble, Lord, walk with me. When I'm in trouble, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Feel free to be seated. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer a prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance.
Slide. First line.
As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire holding on to thee. All the angels exalt you on high. What a kingdom to depart. But you left your throne in the sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire holding on to thee. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee.
Verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright of heart. Let's stand for this song, and then we can sit after it's finished.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever bless. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Be seated.
Lord God, we're gathered here together in person and in spirit to worship you and to praise you as our Creator and our Holy Father. We believe that this means we must be filled with your Spirit and shaped with your grace to be like you. We know that you sent your Son Jesus to show us how to be like you. We know that while he walked this earth, he knew all the trials and hardships that we all suffer. When he saw people sick or handicapped or dying, children in death, he cured them or he raised them from death to help us to believe and to show his great love. When our friends are crippled or sick or in danger, we grieve and our hearts are broken. When the great friend of Jesus, Lazarus, was sick and died, his heart was broken. His grief was so strong that his friends could see his great love for Lazarus. Jesus raised him to walk again on this earth for a short time. Lord, we know that you love us like Jesus loved Lazarus, and we all have been born again. We will rise again, not on this earth, to die again, but to walk with you in heaven and our Savior in a new body, and we will never again feel pain, weakness, or sorrow, and die never again. We praise his name for that. Lord, we remember when your son was alone in the wilderness. He was hungry and without human companionship. The devil approached him and challenged him to sin. The devil told him to worship him and to feed himself with selfish bread and not to depend on you, Lord. He offered earthly fame. He offered great earthly wishes, and all he had to do was to worship the devil. Jesus responded with a beautiful statement of faith. He told the devil, "Get away from me. God has not been sent to test him, and I will worship only the Lord God, my Father, as he has told me to." Then the devil fled from Jesus and went away. Lord God, we pray that your Spirit will grant us faith to drive away his sinful challenges and worship only you, our Lord God. Help us faithfully follow the example of your Son, Jesus. We remember the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane, the garden. We know that he suffered great anguish for the torture and pain that he knew was coming. He even felt like that you had abandoned him, yet he had the faith and the great love that was given to him, given to us through him. He prayed that the cup would pass from it, but he was willing to say, "Lord, your will and not mine." Lord God, in the past, we have prayed to you for earthly gifts. We've prayed for healing from sicknesses that roar this country. We pray for escape from poverty and weakness and the attacks of evil men. We have prayed for good weather. We have prayed for that security here on earth. We've prayed for comfort, and we've prayed these things because we know that you love us. You replied to us, "Be not afraid, I'm with you always." Lord God, I pray here. Prayer today is not for these earthly things, but for a blessing far greater than these things that we begged you for in the past. We pray that our faith will cause us to look to your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, for our relief from our fears and stress, relief from doubt and worry, and the courage to say, when faced by these things, "Not our will, but yours." We remember you said, "Be not afraid, for I am with you always." We pray for the strength and courage of mind and faith in you and your Son, Jesus the Christ. And in his holy name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost.
I have promised my wife that I would not fall, and that is the plan for today. Also, we have a time set aside for our, a place actually, and a time for our Roots children there in the back. Miss Chelsea is heading that direction. If you would like to be a part of that group at the table, then you are more to join. While they go, let us pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we seek you. So would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching this day? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. From Joshua chapter 6. On the seventh day, the people rose early at dawn and marched around Jericho in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpets, they raised a great shout and the wall fell down flat. Possession of the city violently changed hands and the Israelites moved in. Centuries later, Jesus walks into the very same Jericho. No doubt the old town looks vastly different than before. Construction and reconstruction, expansion, perhaps even rebuilt walls. Jericho had become a sizable place, a decent population. It had also carried with it a certain kind of charm, with its fertile plains, adjacent mountains, and mild winters. Such qualities provided the fuel Jericho needed to develop a reputation of sorts as a tourist destination for Jerusalem's elites. And the city brimmed with leisurely pleasures for them to attend, like horse races, musical theaters, sporting events. Herod, the central Jewish political leader at the time, even had a vacation home there, with elaborate stucco work and with wall frescoes that could rival in splendor any other art found in the known world. His was a grand palace that, come morning or evening, one could enjoy on the balcony lovely views of the surrounding pastoral landscape. Or, if one so chose, they could take an afternoon dip in one of its football-field-sized swimming pools or stroll through one of its famed sunken gardens. Ancient Jewish documents laud the roses grown in Jericho's gardens, for those flowers reach legendary status in both beauty and poetry. Jericho's established repute brought with it all sorts of financial prosperity, and it became an economic hub in the region, which meant, among other things, that money flowed freely throughout the city, changing hands, purchasing, buying, selling, funding retirement accounts. It must also be said that Jericho's fortuitous location provided a strategic regional military base for the occupying Roman army. They were all too happy to let the Jewish leaders feel secure in their parades and their projects and promenades, as long as they paid their taxes to fund Rome's expansive colonial goals. To get that done, Roman officials would hire locals to do the work for them, persons from the Jewish community who knew the lay of the land, the language, the banking system, the people, the complainers, the evaders, the unable to pay. As long as Rome got their percentage, those employed to collect taxes could charge whatever they wanted as their additional pay. Someone owes $100 to the IRA, or to the IRS, sorry. Mark it up to 125. Give 100 to Rome. Pocket 25 yourself. Do that enough. Pretty good day at the office. Go buy yourself something nice for the work that you've done. The job's downside, if you are a Jew at the time, comes at the expense of relationship with the Jewish community at large. Who would want to be your friend if you took their hard-earned money and gave it to the enemy and took more than was actually owed? Why would anyone invite you into their home for a meal or want you to go to their synagogue? The best that you would get are foul glares that would come whenever you walked around, and not just during tax season. Just about the only people you could hang out with, if your job did not turn you into a loner, are people like you, fellow tax agents who had also sold out, and other objectionable characters classically labeled as sinners. The collecting veterans, who had long ago released any ownership to sentimentality or shame, would just chalk it up to the nature of business, while the newer employees would struggle to adjust, wondering if the allure of potential prosperity is worth all of this. But give them a few years and a big home, and they'll get used to it. In Jericho, there is a tax collector named Zacchaeus. I have been reading and hearing and even acting out this VBS story for 40 plus years, and I have never, ever noticed that Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. I promise you, that little detail was just recently inserted. I know it was. No way I could have missed that. As chief tax collector, Zacchaeus has underlings working for him. They would retrieve the taxes, hand Rome their required amount, mark it up a bit for themselves, and give Zacchaeus a cut too. It's a pyramid scheme that maximizes his personal profits while doing less of the door-to-door collecting himself. Sit back and let the dough roll in, baby. That sharky behavior implicates Zacchaeus even more and justifies why common people do not like him. We could speculate all day long about how and why and when Zacchaeus' business career and also his character turned out the way that it did. But as many of you know well, life's twists and spirals have a way of sculpting paths no one could have ever expected. So on this particular day, when Jesus walks through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, we're not completely sure what Zacchaeus aims to do. He wants to see Jesus, that's for certain. But why? Does he aim to observe him? Getting a glimpse of Jesus and his celebrity status. Everyone knows about Jesus, his deeds and delights and talking points. Surely word that he is here spread like wildfire on Twitter feeds and gossip chains. Does Zacchaeus hope to gain an audience with Jesus, to say something to him? Or had Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was insultingly, one time, called a friend to tax collectors and sinners and wants to know if that's true? Whatever the case, he cannot see because he is too short. As someone who always had to sit in the front row for class pictures, height deficiency is something Zacchaeus and I have in common, though it's probably not the only thing. He is a wee little man. That is what people then and now call him, even making up jingles about him. I imagine he internally despises both the nickname and the feeling it brings him. Other people are too tall, their heads and shoulders blocking all the decent sight lines. He cannot see the stage, the action. Jesus walking by, where is he? Where is he? There he is. I can't see him. I cannot see him. It's possible and even probable that the people whom he's cheating are now barricading him on purpose because they do not like him and they do not allow him to move in any closer. There may not be a single thing they can do about the tax problem, but you better believe that they'll control what they can control. Afraid that Jesus will depart Jericho before Zacchaeus gets his moment, he changes course. He runs ahead of the crowd, searching, scheming. Where can I go? What can I do? How can I see him? And this is when our childlike imaginations kick into high gear. The man, Zacchaeus, climbs a tree just like he used to do when he was a boy, scraping knees, scratching arms, racing up. He uses the branches as a stepladder, rung by rung, ascending by foot and hand, until higher than his genetic bone structure will allow, he can spot Jesus above Jericho's peopled barriers right over their heads. The sycamore tree, which you can visit apparently even today in Jericho, it serves a double purpose. Elevation for a better vision, one, and two, a veil of greenery so no one can see him, hiding up there with leaves covering his shame. He can watch in secret as Jesus and the crowd saunter on by. But it turns out, Jesus is not passing through after all. He walks right to the base of the wooden ladder and looks skyward, spots Zacchaeus, speaks to him. What you doing up there? How about you come down? I'm staying at your house tonight. I'm assuming you have room. Zacchaeus, looking back at the Jesus who has not called him wee or little, senses immediately that this is not a joke. Jesus is smiling, but he is not kidding. Zacchaeus scrambles out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, and is delighted to take Jesus into his house. What an unexpected turn of events this is, as Jericho's walls come crashing down again. At this point, whatever warm feelings we may have toward Zacchaeus, the crowd most certainly does not. You have got to be kidding me, they say, indignant and grumpy. What business does Jesus have with this crook, this sinner? And for good reason, they say it.
How many persons in that assembly of the righteous taxpayers had Zacchaeus swindled and cheated and betrayed and evicted and lorded over them and sent his assistants to hound them and hand them over to the authorities when they could not pay? Jesus could have picked any other person in the crowd and they would have been fine with that. But Jesus says to him, "You've got room at the inn for me, yes?" Maybe Jesus is the real swindler here, co-signing on Zacchaeus' duplicitous actions. Maybe that's what's going on. Massive frauds all over the place. Call it out, raise the flag, storm the castle. Zacchaeus, perhaps aware of what is going on, jumps in. "Look," he says, "I give away half of my income to the poor, and if I am caught cheating, I'll pay four times the damage I've done." Zacchaeus reaches back to the law in the Torah where it says this: "Any man or woman who wrongs another in a way and so is unfaithful to the Lord is guilty and must confess the sin they've committed. They must make full restitution for the wrong they've done, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it to the person they've wronged." Zacchaeus does that and more, four times as much, and pledges half of his savings to give to those who subsist on Social Security. It's a shocking and extravagant act of distributive justice. Some in the crowd might claim that Zacchaeus is only doing this for show. Jesus standing there, the people standing there, put on the spot, of course he wants to save face. Or maybe he's attempting to earn everyone's forgiveness, apologizing with a wad of cash. But what does Jesus say? How does he respond besides inviting himself into Zacchaeus' home? He says this: "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Salvation is not just a future condition of the soul, but a life transformed in the here and now because of the presence of God. Repentance is not only a quiet operation of the heart, it is also a movement of the hands, which is the evidence of a new life. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The fiery John the Baptist once preached out in the hot desert to the masses, which included soldiers and even, yes, tax collectors. For the welcoming grace that Zacchaeus receives, he himself now gives it away on purpose. The harder parts for the crowd might be when Jesus calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. It's likely an affront to them, because what true believer would collude with the enemy like Zacchaeus does? Plus, they already have a name for him: sinner. Earlier in Luke, Jesus once called a disfigured woman a daughter of Abraham. And now here he is calling Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, which can only mean that God's welcome into the family is wider than most people realize. The crowds probably missed it, and perhaps we have too. But Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham." It points to the truth that he, like them, like us, are God's children as well. Scoundrels, sinners, and saints, all mixed in and mixed up. I have in mind our recent Trunk or Treat event. Just last Sunday, many of you turned out for it. Thank you. If you were there, then you would know how many people turned out for it, more than we've ever had at an event like this. In order to get a good look at it all, Chelsea stood up in the back of my truck above the crowd and took this video. In our horseshoe-shaped trick-or-treating event, who was there? Everyone was there. Tax collectors and ministers, businessmen and retirees, adults who had just clocked out of work and wore a uniform that they did not wear as a costume, poor, rich, black, white, persons from the Hispanic and Asian American communities, wheelchair-bound and bounding children, neighbors who identify as LGBTQ, families with moms and dads, grandparents with grandchildren, and you. You were there. And it did not matter who came up to you to get a hot dog or a face painted, or a piece of chocolate from you 2 times, or 4 times, or 6 times. You welcomed them. You welcomed them. You welcomed them. You did not turn your back. We did not circle our wagons or cars to keep us them, us in, and them out. They did not have to climb into the back of my truck or up into the trees to see where to go next. They were simply and safely welcomed to our church home for a time, and perhaps longer, who knows? I am so thankful for you in that. Jesus finishes by telling Zacchaeus in the crowd, "The Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." The lost man in the tree was lost because he did not know who he was or where he was going or what he was really doing. He had gotten turned around on his journey, could not tell his left from his right, his front from his back, or which direction was down. He could only go up from there, which is what he did when he sensed the possibility of something more passing by. Whatever led him to climb, that changed him forever because he was found. Jesus, it seems, will look up into any sycamore to see if anyone is hiding up there or searching, even us, and transforming the tree into a place of transformation, as Jesus with trees is apt to do. If they or we are not ready to come down yet, then my guess is, at the risk of ridicule or embarrassment, that he will climb those laddered branches if needed. He'll sit, take in the view, and wait for as long as it's needed. And then he would invite himself to their house for dinner. Jesus' pronouncements from Luke chapter 4, which we've been declaring in great hope for months now, are being realized even today, my friends. So would you stand, please, as I come down? Let's stand up together. Let's read aloud Jesus' pronouncements, and then we will sing in worship together. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And together we say or we type, amen. Amen. Let's sing together.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you'd reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again?
Please be seated. King, you can keep me muted. I'll just use the green. Even when Jesus invites himself to our home, he's still the host. He is the host of this meal in this place, which we call our home. This bread and this cup, which he is the host of. He is the one who gives both the body, the bread, and the cup, which is his blood. So let's share this with great joy, because he has welcomed us to himself. As we typically do, if you would like to join me up front and help me serve, you are more than welcome to do that. Just come forward right after I pray, and we'll do that. Thank you, God, for the ways that you continually welcome us, the good parts of us, the not so good parts, and your grace covers it all, and so we give you thanks. Give you thanks for this church body, the ways that even today you are forming and shaping us. Thanks now for the bread, this cup, and we receive it today with gratitude. It's through Christ we pray. Amen.
All right, we are now blessed with the opportunity to give, as we have been given. We're going to have a couple of guys walk around. Dorian, can you help with the offering plate today? Alex is beautifully occupied with Megan. Let me pray, and then these guys will walk around. If you have any of those cards to put in the offering tray or contribution, offering, tithe, you can do that. You can give online, of course, bring it to the office. Let's pray, please. Thank you, God, for the heart of Jesus, which is clearly seen in the hearts of the people before me. I give you praise and thanks for the ways that you continue to shape us. With these gifts that are now given, we pray that you would not only bless them, but also the people who will be beneficiaries of whatever is used through them, and also bless the people who give. Thanks for grace. Thanks for Jesus. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. Thursday Bible class is continuing this week, 10:30 on Thursday. Both in person and online. You can join in online through Zoom, and King will connect you there. Two items that are not up in the slides, but I want to make you aware of them nevertheless. Both are about a month away. Several years ago, we moved to having a missions love offering to twice a year instead of just a one-time thing. And so our Missions Love offering, which goes to Reggie Hiller and her work in Vienna, and Glenn Langston, his work amongst people who are blind. December 4th is going to be that day, so please put that on your calendar and your mind, and we're going to give in addition to what we normally give for our regular contribution on December 4th. We'll talk more about that the closer we get to it. All right, Chelsea has an announcement, and then I got a couple other things.
On September 12th, I defended my dissertation, and then about a month later, I only had to do minor edits. It went wonderfully, and I signed my copyrights, and so I sent it in for binding about 3 weeks ago, so it is completely done. And all I am waiting for now is for the degree to be conferred, which will be on December 10th at 10:30 in the morning, actually right down the street at Willow Meadows Baptist. Y'all are invited. I know, who doesn't want to sit through a graduation? So again, I just wanted to let y'all know and give you that life update, as many of you have been cheerleaders and written me notes and been patient, as I have been a little bit absent the last 4 or so years, maintaining a practice and furthering my education. And many of you have asked what's next, and I definitely want to share that with you. Probably sometime in the spring, I'm going to schedule an evening of where, again, very exciting, I know you're going to want to attend, I will share all of my research with you. and what I learned and what my dissertation is written in. So more on that. Not a whole lot's going to change for me. I have a deeply rooted practice here in town, and the biggest thing that I'm hoping for is my public speaking to pick up. So again, I will share more of that with you. That being said, something I did about 8 years ago was host an ornament party at my house in the month of December for all of the women of this church, and I am ready to start doing stuff like that again. I have time and space and creativity and brain power back to put towards things like that. So for all the ladies in this church, I am going to host a luncheon and an ornament exchange party at my house on December 4th. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. There's a couple reasons for that. One is if there's five of us, that is going to make the meal look one way. And if there's 20 of us, that's going to make the meal look very different. So I would just like to know if you were able to come. It is going to be right after church in Steve and I's new home just down the street. So I want to share my home with you. I want to share food with you and do something Christmassy. And so there will be more details on that. Everyone needs to bring an ornament to that, but that will be more details down the road. So I love all of you. Thank you for your patience the last several years, and I'm ready to step back in and start doing some fun things like this. So again, mark that on your calendar, and there's a sign-up sheet right in the back.
It's not up on the slides, but we do have classes all over the building, and hope that you can be a part of one of those immediately after we dismiss here in just a little while. But first, I want to invite Cynthia and Robert to join me up here, please. You know Robert and Cynthia. I'm going to scoot over so you can see them better. Robert and Cynthia, at the end of this week, are moving back to New York to be with family up there. This is probably a long time in coming for this to happen, and that decision just was recently made. Cynthia's daughter up in Rochester recently moved into a bigger home, bigger space, and while I was on my sabbatical, she called Cynthia and said, "We got some space here, come and live with us." Cynthia moved here, Cynthia and Robert moved here, 2015, and the reason they did that was because of her daughter who was going through some cancer treatment, and several other family members were here. And kind of one by one, they have fled Houston. I don't know why. We love this place. But now it is time for Cynthia and Robert to follow suit. So I'm going to say a few things as best as I possibly can. Then I'm going to invite maybe a couple of you to say things. And then, Larry, I'm going to ask you to pray over them as a blessing. And then you two are welcome to say something too. I sure hope that you do. I first met Robert and Cynthia, I'm pretty sure it was 2015. I was working in my office. It's in the afternoon. I get a knock on the door, and I think it was Brandy who was working in the office at that point. At the door was this woman, this man, whom she or I had never met. I was back in my office, and Brandy received the brunt of what had happened. Earlier that day or the day before, I had a car towed that had been there for a few extra days than needed to be. So I had the car towed, and the owner of that car, PT Cruiser, red PT Cruiser. I had that thing towed, and then Cynthia and with Robert, Cynthia came in, like angry that somebody had done that. She lived across the street, didn't know why anybody had done that, and nobody told her about the regulations and things like that. And she said, I demand to speak to the minister. And I said, I am he right here in front of you. And her countenance just dropped. And from that point on, we have been great friends for those 7 or 8 years. So if you want to be my friend, I'll tow your car first. I guess that's the moral of the story. But I'll speak about Robert for a second. Robert, from the very beginning, welcomed me. We've had many meals together. He and I picked up aluminum cans together all over the city, right? Mm-hmm. Turned them in for a few bucks. He taught me how to take better care of my truck. And it was several times when I would come in, I would come and park my truck out here. I would come over here, do some sermon stuff, and then I would go back out there around 10:30 or 11. There's Robert washing my truck for me. I never asked for it. I didn't know he was coming, but he was scrubbing it down and cleaning the tires for me. I dress much better because I know that you are going to dress up too. My favorite Robert story is a year or so after he got here, Robert was legally blind and huge cataracts, both eyes, and I took him to his doctor's appointments where they somehow miraculously cleaned that up and now he can see. Literally once was blind, but now he sees. Robert, over these years, has taught me to see better too, and I am so thankful for that. For Cynthia, some of my favorite memories include a talent show that we did here where I believe you spoke from memory. Was it Casey at the Bat? I think it was Casey at the Bat. She says not to remind her, but I am because it was brilliant. She did so well. She has read scripture during our Passion Weeks when we have three of us up here. And when Cynthia read her section from whatever gospel we were reading that year, I cannot unhear scripture the way that she spoke it now. It was so beautiful. And then back in February, Cynthia preached for 5 or 7 minutes on prayer. You may remember this because I sure do. She talked about how prayer for her personally, it moved and it moves from routine to robotic to respect from roots in the Black church to relationship with God. Maybe you remember that. I think more than anyone else in my time as a professional minister, it's Cynthia who I have spent the most time with. We have eaten together. We have met together. We have prayed together, dreamed together, argued together, forgiven together, loved our neighbors together, worshiped together. Cynthia, you have challenged me to think deeper about the kingdom of God. You have welcomed me into your home. You have accepted me as one of your own. You've humbled me with kind words, and you have loved me. And I will forever be grateful to God for that. I'm quite positive many of you could say the exact same things. If there is maybe two people who want to come say something brief, you don't need a ladder to stand on to say it. You want to speak first? Okay, we'll let Robert speak first. And if you want to speak, maybe two of you can come up here just for a minute.
You and your family.
Go for it.
I thank you and your family, you know, Larry, Brad, Deepak, y'all been good to us. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think after all that Steve has said, maybe we better change our mind and move in with you and Chelsea. No, and I said to myself, I said, if Steve calls us up there, I'm not going to cry. These people get sick of me coming up here crying. But I can't help myself because when people love you, you can't help but cry. And, you know, it's not like we want to just go back, but we need to be where we have family and support for ourselves. And the first time something happened to us was when Harvey happened, and Kay Pipes was the first person on the phone calling the church, are they all right? Do we have everything they need? And, you know, that opened everything up. I'm sorry about the car deal, and I want to publicly apologize for how I talked to you. I do. I feel bad about that, but I thank you for everything that's happened since then. And all of you guys, you just don't know how much love you've given us. It's not just a Sunday kind of love, like they say, but it's every day of the week that you show us love, and it just means a lot to us, and we're going to miss you. And I know you don't like to be called First Lady, Chelsea, but you are the First Lady, and I applaud you for what you've done and how you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable so that the rest of us can open up our emotions and let them run free, because you set the example for the rest of us. And Mercy, I'll miss your prayers that open up the windows of heaven for all of us. Alex, you and Jessica, you know, you talked about the baby, and now, last Sunday I looked around, the baby's walking. So I, you know, time doesn't wait for any of us. And when COVID started, Brandy McDaniels called me up first thing and said, you know, I'm taking you to get your shots. And she took us all the way out to Galveston to do that. You know, she didn't have to do that, but, you know, and Larry and Martha, I can't even find the words. I call them so much. I think they're going to have their number changed, are you? No, probably, but, you know, just, and things you don't know that the church has done for us. My husband hadn't had a driver's license in almost 18 years, and Brent kept doing the paperwork and the paperwork for it till he finally got it. My husband is a Houston, Texas licensed driver, thanks to your efforts, Brent. And just, and Ruth, you're such an example of a servant. You know, you don't care who's in need. You're going to go ahead and just take care of it. You don't seek permission. You just do it. And that's the kind of example that you set. And just so many of you in here, Deep Pipes knows how to just pull everything together like nobody's business. You know, a problem comes, and before nightfall, she's already solved it and moved on to the next thing. Just so many of you in here. Andrea, you miss your singing. And Dick and Bonnie, you who goes around giving women fans in the church to keep them cool? You know, just the simple things that just make you family. And when you have to move away from family, tell me it doesn't hurt, because it does. But I'm not going to stand up here and take up all of your time. I just wanted to let you know that we love you. We're going to miss you. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done for us.
Wait, you're going to stay up here? We're going to bless you, pray over you in just a second. Yeah. Robert, we're going to pray over you in just a second. We have time for maybe one or two just brief stories, if one of you want to do that. I see Andrea, and I see this Andrea, yes, and Jesse, both of y'all. I'm going to, Chelsea, we turn on the yellow microphone right there. King, they'll use the yellow one. Jesse, you can just come near Andrea. We'll speak, and then we'll pray over the two of you.
I will never forget the Sunday that Cynthia did James Weldon Johnson's The Creation. That moved me more than anything I have ever heard. You are, both of you, magnificent.
I just want to say, Miss Cynthia, you start the prayer group with me and Miss Mercy and Miss Ruth. And Miss Cynthia, when you get to New York, you send them down here, because this is a lovely church. And you take that fire from this church and you spread it in New York, because this is a wonderful, wonderful blessing for y'all, a wonderful blessing for me. And I know it's a wonderful blessing for this church. But most of all, I know we are happy and we are glad that you're going to be safe, that God have you, and you take what God taught you, and you got healing, and you keep that, and you spread that to New York, and you tell the people that Texas is great.
Come on.
Come to Southwest Central.
All right, Mercy has one too. Let's do that, please.
Hi, Cynthia. I don't know what to say. We are going to miss you so much. You are a great child of God. I walk with you in prayer group, and I see the Spirit of God in you. As you are living, you have to hang up with he that you believe in. Do not give up, because we have walked with you and we know who you are. It's not that easy for me to shake tears, but we are going to miss your presence. Do not leave that thing you believe in. Hang on to it, and it will take you to places. We love you so much, and we cannot stop you to go since you have made up your mind. But we know that you are a child of God. Continue to live like that.
Cynthia, we just want to say we love you. We remember the night you walk into the classroom, Mr. Watson, and your husband couldn't see. And the Lord touched his eyes with Steve, and he blessed you. So, Cynthia, we just want to give you all the blessing as you leave, and the love, and the person that you is, and you always will be. Remember, when everybody leave you, God is always with you. But you're leaving us, but you will be with God and in our spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Cynthia. If you'd like to join us and surround Robert and Cynthia, Larry, you can use this green one right here.
As people are coming forward, I'd like to just apologize to Barbara. I made a commitment to you several months back, and I'm not able to fulfill it like I want, so I would ask that you please forgive me for that. And to Paul, I know you're supposed to teach me how to say the Lord's Prayer in Cantonese, but I guess that's not going to happen either. And I apologize for any time and energy I took away from you, so please accept my apology.
Dear God, once again, we are gathered around a part of our body that's leaving, Father. But as we go on our journey to the higher ground, they may be taking an earlier exit. But, Father, we entrust that it is a blessed destination. Father, may you be with Robert and Cynthia in Buffalo as you have been in Houston. Father, may you provide with them a family of love that can encourage, that they can encourage. Father, I seek your blessing upon both Robert and Cynthia. Father, may you give them good health. Father, may you continue to provide for them, and may you bless her daughter's family that's taking them in. May they have a good experience with that, and may you protect them as they move up to that frozen tundra. Father, we are grateful for your work in bringing them to us in a strange and mysterious way, but that's the way you work. Father, they have been a blessed part of our congregation, an important part of our congregation. Father, I pray that now that you bless them as they go, may they be God blessed and God speed. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
So you offered me a pair of shoes. Thank you. All you're missing, brother, is a hat. All you're missing this morning.
I got a white one.
You have one?
Yeah.